सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
The chant verses 31 to 35, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 31 to 35.
Yajna shishtamruta bujaha, yajna shishtamruta bujaha, yanti brahma sanatanam, yanti brahma sanatanam, nayam lokostya yajnasya, nayam lokostya yajnasya, kutomyakkurusattama, yajna shishtamrita bhujaha, yanti brahma sanatanam, nayam lokostya yajnasya, kutomyakkurusattama, एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः, एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः, विदधा ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान्, कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान्, एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे, एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे, एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः, विदधा ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितान् सर्वान्, एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे, श्रेयान् द्रव्यमयाद्यज्ञः, श्रेयान् द्रव्यमयाद्यज्ञः, ज्ञानयज्ञपरन्तप, सर्वं कर्माखिलं पार्थ, सर्वं कर्माखिलं पार्थ, ज्ञाने परिसमाप्यते, श्रेयान् द्रव्यमयाद्यज्ञः, ज्ञानयज्ञपरन्तप, सर्वं कर्माखिलं पार्थ, ज्ञाने परिसमाप्यते, तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानम्। ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानम्। ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् एवं यास्यसि पाण्डव येन भूतान्यशेषेण द्रक्ष्यस्यात्मन्यतोमयि यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् एवं यास्यसि पाण्डव येन भूतान्यशेषेण द्रक्ष्यस्यात्मन्यतोमयि।
Anybody wants to give a try to summarize verses 1 or 30? Chapter 4. This is in fact what Krishna says in the Gita itself. The very portion, due to the long lapse of time, this knowledge has passed. Right? He says that in verse number 2 and 3. I think that's what is happening here. Just try, it doesn't matter. Whatever you know, whatever you recollect from this chapter, then I will do. You can have a open the book and talk about it. No need to close it and talk about it.
You have part of the action in action. Then you have the yatra, all the sacrifices and the goals, the wicked goals, and this is talking about the different personal attributes.
See, in the first chapter of the Gita, which is entitled as Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Arjuna Vishada Yoga means the yoga of Arjuna's despondent condition, despondency. Arjuna was confused. Initially when he came to the war, he came to fight. When he saw Bhishma, Drona and all these people, he had a emotional stress because of which he wanted to retreat. He didn't want to fight. So he was justifying his stance of not wanting to fight. He was saying that is the right thing to do. How can I kill Bhishma, Drona, etc.? He did not have a doubt in his mind that he is wrong, that he is confused and he is wrong. But he did not straightaway leave the battlefield. He wanted approval from his friend Krishna, because he called Krishna to the battlefield and Krishna accepted to be his charioteer. Right? We know the story. So now he was waiting for Krishna's response. Till he kept quiet, Krishna did not speak. So the entire first chapter, Lord Krishna did not speak. And in the second chapter, when Arjuna kept quiet and Krishna started speaking, he did not agree with Arjuna. He in fact whipped him with powerful words, said, how on a situation like this, in a situation like this, you could think of even running away. You're supposed to do your duty. Then Arjuna came to the point and said, how can I fight against Bhishma and Drona? It is sin to kill your guru. Then Lord Krishna, then Arjuna was trying to justify. Then he realized, as he was talking, he is confused. Because if he goes away from the battlefield, he will be not doing his duty as a kshatriya. But if he is fighting on the battlefield, then he will be killing his guru, which is sin. So according to him, leaving the battlefield and not doing his duty is also sinful. But being in the battlefield and killing guru is also sinful. So he feels, my choices are between the devil and the deep sea. Now what do? I am trapped. So now I surrender to you. You tell me. Verse number 7, chapter 2, when Arjuna surrendered to Lord Krishna, then Lord gives the reply. Actual Gita starts from verse number 11 of chapter 2. Then he talked from the consciousness point of view, then from the content point of view, the mind and intellect point of view, then from the body duty point of view. All that he explained in the second chapter. Then Arjuna wanted, then Lord Krishna talked about Karma Yoga a little bit in the second chapter. At that time Arjuna interfered and asked Krishna to explain the state of Stitha Prajna, man of perfection. Then Lord Krishna talked about it. Then again in the third chapter, Lord Krishna talked in detail about Karma Yoga. How? Verse number 6 of chapter 3 is very important verse, where he said, if you restrain your organs of action, but mentally keep on thinking about the sense objects, physically you are not acting. Karmendriyani samyamya, ya aste manasasmaram indriyata. Physically sitting down doing nothing, but mentally keep on thinking about the worldly objects, you are an hypocrite. Ya aste manasasmaram indriyata, vimudatma mityacharasa uchyate. Therefore what Lord said is, you might as well engage your organs of action in the world, thinking of the Lord, dedicating it to the Lord. Then he introduced the concept of Loka Sangraha. Then he said, like people like King Janaka, they all were in the world functioning, doing their duty as a king, but in a mode of surrender and awareness. Thus, they did not incur sin. They exhausted the vasanas and realized the self. So I give you a solution in the same way. Instead of leaving the battlefield, function here with awareness, with total surrender. Instead of fighting for your personal profit or loss, you fight for the welfare of the total. Like in this context, we get the example of a hangman. Hangman
executes people after the judge has delivered the sentence to execute them, right? But he personally doesn't have any interest in hanging or not hanging. He will not incur sin. So exactly like that, you as a kshatriya, as a soldier, you do what is to be done by you. Forget about personally what profits you are going to gain after the war, if you win, etc. If you function like that, you incur no sin, is what he explained. Now in the fourth chapter, which is entitled as what? Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. How through jnana you rise above karma while doing karma. While doing karma, while your organs of actions are involved in karma, in action, how through jnana, if you do that action with jnana, you will incur no sin and you rise to the level of sannyas. This is also sannyas. Later on, you may go to the level of sannyas ashrama, or you may remain in grihastha, but in sannyas spirit. That is what he is talking about here. Jnana karma sannyasa yoga. So here in this chapter, he started off by saying, I gave this knowledge to Vivaswan. Vivaswan gave it to Manu. Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. Vivaswan is the sun god, the first person, the very first being. I gave this knowledge to Vivaswan. Vivaswan gave it then to Manu. Manu then gave it to Ikshvaku. This knowledge has been lost in this world due to a long lapse of time. Just 1 month has passed and you have lost whatever we discussed. I think we've been meeting for the last 1.5-2 years. All 2 years you forgot. You feel as if you are meeting me for the first time and starting everything for the first time. So just in this 1.5-2 months, if this much of loss can happen.
We knew that we have to come.
I know. You know that this guy will come and summarize. Why take, put in effort also? In a way. Not really. Just joking. But you know, the point is, this is the problem. The kind of effort we put in, sustaining it is very difficult. We are not saying we are not interested. We are all interested. Right. Otherwise you won't really like be after me. I'm not saying this to really make you feel good or anything. It's a fact. Right. You all are really interested. So you are really wanting, but the problem is sustaining is not easy. It's the most difficult thing. That's why they say keep to the satsang, keep to the satsang. Because the immediate pleasures take us down like this. What happened to Vishwamitra? So many years, if you see Vishwamitra's life, he will do tapasya for so many years. Then one Menaka will come and dance, then his tapas is gone. Right? Then he will do so much of tapas. Then somewhere somebody says something, he gets angry. Tapasya gone. You understand? So Vishwamitra is trying to tell us this. It's not as if he fell. But he is trying to educate us through his example that if this can happen to me, it can happen to you, be careful. That's all we should learn from the Vishwamitra story. Not judge whether Vishwamitra was really great or not. That is none of our business. So the point what I am trying to say is, here in this verse, Lord Krishna is saying, due to the long lapse of time, this knowledge is lost. For this we gave one example. Do you remember that example? How did we explain this long lapse of time? You must know the difference between learning directly from a guru and learning from the shastras. What are shastras? Literatures. Literatures are nothing but words of the gurus. Right? But when those words were spoken by the guru, guru is directly in touch with the reality. And the words are coming through him. And we say this knowledge especially is called as apaurusham, meaning it's beyond the human effort. This knowledge of the self can be given only when you cross the ego. When the ego is crossed, that human being through whom the knowledge is coming is no more speaking from the standpoint of a human being. It's like mobile is there. It is not charged. Therefore you can't work on it. But you charge it and then you can work on it. So the plug is connected directly to the electricity. So like that the Guru is none other than reality. Now the Guru has given up his body. Now what is left is only the words. Now due to the long lapse of time, lot of people are stuck to the words now. Come what may, people will not give up chanting Gita. Every day they'll chant. Come what may, they'll say at least one verse every day I have to read. Like that, so many things, the tradition in India especially, through tradition, they have made sure it continues in every family in some form or the other. Some sort of reading, or at least keeping the Gita book and worshipping. Something like that. So what he is saying here is, I get the example. Through example you can understand it a little easy. Ganga is flowing. Now Ganga dries, let us say. Ganges water dries. What is left there? Only the river bed. Sand. River bed alone is there. Ganga is not flowing anymore. Like this, the Guru is there, which means Ganga is flowing. Now the Guru's body is gone. Now only the river bed, the words are left. Just picking the sand and keeping in your house and worshipping will not give you water. But from the sand you can get the water. How? By digging deep into the sand. Are you with me? Just going to the riverbed every day and worshipping it, you will get nothing. Digging deep the riverbed, when you dig deep, from inside the water will come. Because the water in the riverbed is also connected to the ocean. It is the same. There is only one water body. Are you with me? So water will come. Similarly, the words of the masters, if you just keep and mechanically repeat it or study, nothing will happen. If you dig deep, if you use it as a sadhana, you reflect, manan karke, try to put it into practice in your life and see back what you get. Then you are going deep. Then you will gain the experiences from within. Guru knowledge, how much ever he imparts you, it is coming from him to you. That is knowledge, that is not wisdom, that is information. But when you dig deep, you will get transformation. Are you with me? That is why after a Guru appears and Guru is gone, when some other Guru appears, again there seems to be tremendous change in the society. Why? He might be speaking the same words from a different angle, but he is directly connected to the reality. In between, people are lost. So that is what he is saying. Due to a long lapse of time, this knowledge is lost. That same knowledge I try to give it to you, reviving it. By this, what Krishna is saying is, I am somebody who is connected to the totality. Are you with me? I am a realized person myself. Now Arjuna gets it. How is it that you are saying you gave the knowledge to Vivaswan? Vivaswan was born many years ago. You are born just now. We both are friends. How many birthdays we have celebrated together? I know your date of birth, basically saying this. How come you are saying you gave it to Vivaswan? I don't understand this. Because he is looking at Krishna as Mr. Krishna. He is not understanding how deep Krishna has gone. We have studied this. Container, content, consciousness. Many of us are stuck at the container level. Are you with me? Many of us are stuck at the container level. I am one container, that person is another container. So this container will have lust for that container, or jealousy with reference to that container because that container has more. Are you with me? Fear of that container overtaking this container. All the various emotional things can happen because you are identified at the superficial level. You go a little deep from container level to content level. That is why we say just reading Gita will not help. Using the Gita, you go deep from container to content. Then from content, further deep to consciousness. So the deeper you go, the lust will turn into love. fear will turn into fearlessness. Are you with me? Jealousy will leave only when you go deeper. Are you with me? From the same level if you try to tackle, nothing will happen. So a lot of people keep saying, I am reading Gita, I have been attending classes, nothing has been happening. If something happens, then the guru will be surprised. Nothing has happened, he is fine. Because you are not putting in effort to go deeper. Using the Gita. Gita is only a tool. Instead of Gita, the tool could be Bible, the tool could be Quran, the tool could be anything. Are you with me? You use them and go deeper. Then, when you will unfold the self, go on deeper and deeper and remove the ego completely, then you will also realize the self. That very same experience that Lord Buddha got, Lord Mahavira got, Lord Krishna got, you can also get. This is the idea. Now, when Lord Krishna is speaking, he is gone to the level of consciousness. But Arjuna is only at that level of container. Are you with me? Outside, both of them are in the human form. So Arjuna is obviously asking this question, how come your birth is recent, Vyaswan's birth is very many years ago, then how come you are saying you gave this knowledge to Vyaswan? Then Lord Krishna says, many births of mine and yours have gone, you know them, you know not them all, while I know them all. Then he talks about the secret of how the whole birth has happened. He says, how this thing happened. In 6, if you see, 6, 7, 8. 7 and 8, very popular verses. Yada, yada, idharmasya and all that. So he says, very simple. I explained this with an example again. Again, I'm going back to the example rather than the direct verse. We can read the translation of verse number 6 and then I'll give you the example. Then it will be easy for you to recollect. Verse number 6 says, Though unborn of imperishable nature, Lord of beings, the reality, presiding over my own prakriti, I am born by my own maya. He is saying, Arjuna, you are asking how I gave to Vyaswan and again I am giving it to you, for which I am telling you many births of mine and yours have gone, you don't know, but I know them all. How this unborn gets born, he is explaining. Do you understand? Atma, which is never born, how is it getting born as it were? For this we gave the example of charcoal kept in somebody's palm, a cold charcoal kept in somebody's palm. Are you with me? And he is hypnotized to believe that the charcoal is hot. Even forget charcoal, let us say it's a stone, just a stone, pebble, cold it is, and he is hypnotized to believe that it is actually hot charcoal and the heat is increasing. There will come a time when he will not be able to take it anymore because the heat is too much for him, he will drop it. Correct? Because in the state of hypnosis, for him it is charcoal. Are you with me? Now the interesting thing is, you bring him out of hypnosis. You ask him to open his palm. There will be a burn in his palm. Though it was not a hot charcoal. So how did this burn come into existence? Mamama, by my own creation. My mind was thinking it to be hot, and due to my own mind, I brought about the burn. Exactly like that, each individual, due to his own hypnosis for so many years, he has brought himself to believe that I am Mamta, I am Meenakshi, I am like this, I am like that, I am a woman, I am capable of only functioning this much, I am a man, I can do this, I can't do that much. You understand? Each one has been conditioning himself and has brought about this birth on himself. When those conditionings are removed, he also realizes that actually he never had a birth. This is what he is saying. This example makes it easy. But what is interesting is, it is not just one conditioning. So many conditionings. A woman born in a village, deep, some Rajasthani, some village, let us say. She is born and brought up there. She has never travelled anywhere else, not to even the neighbouring village. There is another woman born in Delhi or Mumbai. Another woman born in New York. Each one is hypnotized in different ways. And therefore they have brought themselves up in a particular way. So all this which comes and goes, what we call as birth and death, is our own making. And since I have come out of this hypnosis, I know. Are you with me?
But Guruji, one thing, that doesn't defeat the purpose of life, no?
What is the purpose of life?
Purpose, whatever one envisions to do, that doesn't defeat whether you're good or bad, but that doesn't defeat the purpose of life.
I don't understand your question.
If you think that you're very good, if you become conceited in some way, it doesn't defeat from what your purpose of life is. If you want to become something, then you have to become somebody.
See.
Even by, let's say, hypnotism, you have to become somebody to achieve a purpose of life, or you just sort of keep that aside sometimes?
Dekho, I really don't understand your question, but let me. You are saying if I'm conditioned in a particular way and it helps me to be successful, what is wrong in it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah,
everything wrong. Totally wrong. In other words, what you're saying is, if I'm having a drug and it makes me feel that ecstasy, what is wrong in having the drugs? I'm just rephrasing your question. Something like that. What is wrong if I am getting the ecstasy naturally from within me, or through a drug I am getting it? If I am getting it through a drug, it is wrong. It is not natural ecstasy. There are some chemical changes that could be brought about through a drug in your brain, because of which you will feel exactly like our centralized soul will feel. That doesn't mean you are centralized. A lot of people are doing this, I believe. You understand? So, a state in which your ego is conditioned in a particular way, which helps you to be successful. Another way the ego is conditioned, because of which a fellow suffers inferiority complex, whatever, and therefore he is a failure. Whether you are successful or a failure, you are ignorant and deluded being. Are you with me? You are not a being who is completely free from delusion. The idea that Bhagavad Gita is talking about is how to become completely free from delusion. When you become completely free from delusion, you will be excellent, not just successful. And to you, even if you are not success, it won't bother you. That is excellence. Do you understand? So therefore, being in a conditioned state, but being rich and being successful, being this, that, it is in fact worse. In other words, what you are saying is, what difference does it make? I don't know whether I am mad or not, but I am happy. So why don't I become mad? I mean, it's something like that you are saying, I don't know. So therefore, I would say being unconditioned is the right way to go about. Being conditioned by good or bad, both are conditioned state. You have to go beyond good and bad. Anyway, does that answer what you are asking, basically?
No,
I thought something like that you are asking.
It's a long thing, it's a talk about.
So, consciously, if you give yourself into something, then you are having control. Then you are not being deluded. You are doing it yourself. That is positive. But if somebody has conditioned you in a particular way, then that's what happens in certain kind of training. They condition you to function that way. And you will be functioning that way. And the fact that you are functioning that way, you will get a lot of wealth, you will get this and that. But deep inside, you would still remain a hollow person. You understand? So today, you can even say, the education, in a way, certain type of education, gives you that sort of an ego, which will probably make you work in that way and you will be successful. But deep inside, the person feels the hollowness. That is why we say that sort of education looks great from the outside, but from deep within, it is very shallow. Okay. Anyway, so come back to this verse. So he is saying, everybody essentially, it is not just Krishna. Everybody essentially is unborn. Are you with me? But we do not know that. Now if, like for example, when somebody is seeing the birth in the palm, you tell that fellow, you brought it yourself. What rubbish are you talking, man? I brought it myself. See, he's saying proof. Like that, now if we are told, I brought this on myself by way of thinking, it is impossible for us to understand. This is what is happening in this verse. But he is trying to say this only, Krishna. Essentially, everybody is unborn. Okay? But the thoughts are going on, and the way the thoughts are going on, the conditioning is going on, the way the conditioning is going on, the way you become. So the way you think yourself to be, the way you will continue to be. There's one thing is what they took and wrote a book called Secret and all the things. But it's a fact. Are you with me? A belief. When you go on deeply reiterating and believing, that will become a thing. This is how we are created. So that is why when a person goes behind, he knows. Therefore for him, creating is easy. Thought will become things for him. That is why they say, better keep yourself pure. Because if you had any negative thought, that negative thought also will come into reality. Anyway, so though unborn, how the unborn Atma has as it were become a being. This is what a lot of people say, avatar theory, how avatara. Therefore we explain avatara literally means avatarati iti avatara. I gave the example of two fellows walking. One who is walking in front is talking on the phone, looking at the sky and walking. One fellow who is walking from behind is walking consciously, not talking on the phone, looking here and there. He is walking and in front of him there is another fellow. But this other fellow who is walking in front is not at all aware. So he falls into a pit. He has fallen into a pit. This fellow from behind who is walking now consciously, he sees this fellow falling into the pit. So what does he do? Out of compassion, he goes down into the pit consciously to bring that fellow out. This going down into the pit consciously is not falling. When the person who has gone down to bring him out is there, niche, he also looks from the other person's point of view, he also looks as if he is also fallen. So when people like Krishna and all these great Mahatmas, Jesus or Muhammad or whoever it is, they who have come out of compassion only, though they have realized the self, now they know they are unborn. They have totally de-identified themselves with body, mind and intellect. They know that they are consciousness only. They have no identification with body, mind, intellect. But they see us suffering, foolishly identifying with body, mind, intellect and struggling and suffering. Therefore, out of compassion, in their own way, they come to resurrect us. Buddha did in his own way. Mahavira did in his own way. Jesus tried in his own way. Prophet Muhammad tried in his own way. Lord Krishna tries in his own way. Are you with me? And many Mahatmas over a period of time have been doing it merely out of compassion. They have no desire to save, they have no desire not to save. Okay. Now this point to understand is very difficult. Because being in a state of desire, trying to understand the person who is working only from the compassion is difficult. But it's not impossible. We may not be able to practice it immediately. Are you with me? So he says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tat atmanam srijami bhavi. He is talking about yada yada hi dharmasya, whenever dharma is overpowered by adharma, I take birth. For this we said, we asked a question, is dharma more powerful or adharma more powerful?
Dharma.
If dharma is more powerful, then how can adharma overtake dharma? It's not possible. Correct. Dharma is more powerful than adharma. Then how can adharma overtake dharma? So we said, dharmic people do not need anybody's help. They will be able to take care of adharmic people. If you are established in something, it is impossible I can change it. Supposing you have given up smoking for good, I cannot make you smoke. Unless you consciously will come and smoke, and that's it, but still I have not made you get addicted to cigarette. If you had not overcome that weakness, if you are only suppressed it, then I can make you get back to that addiction. Are you with me? So when Krishna says, when dharma has been overpowered by adharma, he is not really bothered about those people who are established in dharma. He is talking about those people who are struggling to establish themselves in dharma. Those people can be confused. You have taken a step to go to Bhagavad Gita class. You are trying to become established, have control over yourself, and you think Gita will help you. At that time, you will think, program is going on, maja, you understand. So, you understand, difficult. So Krishna says, such cases, I will protect the dharmic people, meaning those who are trying to become dharmic. And adharma, I try to change them also, but where there is no choice for them, they are not trying to change or transform, if only punitive action has to be taken, then I give that also, he says. Out of compassion. Like out of compassion, how a doctor gives injection. Again, out of compassion only, no personal interest whatsoever. Are you with me? So, paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha dushkutam, dharma samsthapanakaya, sambhavami yuge yuge. This is what he says. I protect the dharmic people. I also explain to you, have to follow the rule, love to follow the rule. I change people who are from have to love to. There's a signal, red signal. Do you really love to follow, or you're waiting because the police fellow is standing there? Or a camera is there. Camera is there, therefore you're waiting. If the camera was not there, if the police fellow was not there, you couldn't bother whether it is red, green or amber. So change the people from forcing themselves to follow dharma, loving to follow dharma. Through various ways, different masters have tried. This is what I do with this. So he says, thus, I try to protect the virtuous, destroy the vicious, and establish dharma. Then he says, he who knows thus my divine birth. My divine birth means what? Not Krishna's divine birth. This is what a lot of people are understanding like that. My divine birth means everyone's birth. How I am born. By my own conditioning I am born. I even told you, Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, it is said, somewhere I read. So don't, if I am wrong, I am wrong, sorry. But I have read this somewhere, so I am able to recollect it. I believe he did lot of other sadhanas as well. So he did the one particular sadhana where he was becoming like a woman. And it is said, because of the bhav, it is said that he developed bosoms and he even menstruated. Now, I don't know. You understand what I am saying? So, the point is, if you in the bhav, but in the Gita it is said, when you die, whatever is your last thought, you will be born like that. There is some total. basically how we condition ourselves, that's how our birth is happening. We are only conditioning ourselves and taking birth. Are you with me? So Krishna and all these kind of people are those who have gone beyond this influence. We are all in that influence. Gita is trying to help us to come out of that influence. So what he is saying is, those who have come out of that influence, that's how you should understand this verse. He who knows thus my divine birth and action. Action is done by the body, mind and intellect. I am Atma. I have nothing to do with it. If I can separate myself, that is how the logic is going now. Are you with me? I understand that mind is made up of three gunas. According to the three gunas, different caste system people are functioning differently, but I have nothing to do with them. Whether I am a Kshatriya, whether I am a Brahmana, whether I am functioning as a Shudra, or I am functioning as a Vaishya, whatever work is happening, action is happening, that is happening from the body, mind, intellect level. From Atma, I have nothing to do. So you must know action, you must know inaction, you must know forbidden action. Right? Inactive principle is Atma, Akarma. Karma and Akarma. Karma is good action or bad action. When an action is done with desire, if the desire happens to be good, then it is good karma. If the desire happens to be bad, then it is bad karma. Good karma will fetch you punya. Punya you can say little loudly. Why you have to say punya? Papa, if you say quietly, I can understand. Punya, say like that. Right? If you do good karma, you will get punya. If you do bad karma, you will get pa. Whether you get good punya or paap, both are going to make you take birth. Are you with me? Punya is also going to make you take birth. Paap is also going to make you take birth. Whether you are chained by gold chain or you are chained by iron chain, really doesn't matter. You are chained. House imprisonment in Prithviraj Road or in Dharavi slum doesn't matter. Are you with me? I am in prison. So therefore, while doing the action, if you understand this, then you will go beyond the influence of the mind. We are now keep the mind in between. Are you behind the mind and influencing the mind? Are you ahead of the mind and mind is influencing? Not ahead, in front. In front of the mind and mind is influencing. We, people like us, Arjuna like us, we are all being influenced by the mind. People like Krishna, which are very few, who are behind the mind and influencing. They have understood this through jnana and they are influencing the mind. You can also do that. You also have the potential. This is what Bhagavad Gita is trying to do. It is not as if you are born, you will be like this, you will continue to be like this, you cannot do, somebody will have to come from heaven and help you, nothing like that. Somebody can come and help you like this, but you only will have to come out. Are you with me? So, what he is saying is, you, through your conditioning, not one in this Janma, conditionings from many Janmas. Are you with me? You are what you are today. Now you have to come out of this conditioning. The problem is, many of us are not even aware that I am conditioned. Watch the movie Truman Show. Truman Show. Jim Carrey has acted in it. A movie called Truman Show. T-R-U-M-A-N. Show. In that movie, it is a huge serial going on. It's a live serial. As far as the world is concerned, it's a live serial going on. And they have set a huge, they have created a huge set. Something to the size of Delhi, let us say. huge set definitely. And in that, Jim Carrey is born. Everybody else are players, characters, playing the serial. Jim Carrey doesn't know that. I mean, whatever the name is, he doesn't know. I think his name is Truman. He doesn't know that it is a drama going on. He doesn't know. He thinks this is my uncle, my aunt, my friends. It's all real for him. So the serial is so interesting for the public. It's 24 hour serial, right? So everywhere people are watching him because they want to know whether he will come to know that he is born in a set at all. It's a very, very interesting movie. Many times he tries, some doubt comes, something he tries to escape. How will you escape from the ocean side? From childhood he has been created, the fear for water has been created in him. So that fear brings it back. Like that, every time you try to escape, your fear, your greed, your this and that pulls you back. And you'll be in life. So one finally, he comes out of the set. He overcomes the fear and he comes out of the set. That's the move. This is what is possible for each one of us. But our fears, our emotions, our everything limits us and makes us believe that this is a real thing that is going on. This is the illusion. Very few cross this illusion. Upanishads say very clearly. Though everybody has the potential, very few get rid of this conditioning. Because we don't even think that I am conditioned. The moment you get a slight doubt, what if supposing I am conditioned? Can you be as comfortable as you are now? You can't. Like for example, you are born and brought up in a family. According to you are born in that family, or brought up. They didn't tell you that they actually, adopted you from a slum. Let's say, no, it has happened in many families. They are adopted from some slum, but they are rich people. So he grows up like a sheikh, he grows up. Then one fine day he comes to know that he is not from that family. Like what happened to Karna? You understand? He cannot be happy. He would like to know who is his parents, where he came from, what, etc., etc. He cannot be happy at all. Exactly like that. Good that we don't get that problem. Because as it is, we are having other problems. Now along with this, we can't sleep now. You understand? But this is what they call as mumukshatva. One of the qualities for a student, for a shishya, mentioned is mumukshatva.
Tapo bhikshina papana shantana vitaragina mumukshu nama pekshoyam atma bodho vidhiyate.
Adishankara very clearly says, one of the qualities of a person who wants to get out of this conditioning is mumukshatva. Forget mumukshatva, at least doubt that I am conditioned. Maybe I am conditioned. We don't even get that out after so many years of study. So it's not easy. So that conditioning, if I get a doubt, maybe I am conditioned. Then you put in effort and then you come to on the mind. It's a jump. It's the mind, it's the thoughts that are conditioning me. I have to go beyond the thoughts. So Krishna says, action comes from the body, mind and intellect complex. Atma has no good or bad action, no action. So he said, learn to see Atma in action and action in Atma, or action in the mind, whichever way you want to look at it. For that we explain one fellow, Adishandra's example. One fellow was seated in a boat. The ferryman started filling the boat. As the boat is moving, this fellow who is seated, the passenger, is saying to the ferryman, "See, look, those trees are, look, those moving trees. Look at those moving trees." He's saying, "Look at those moving trees." For which the ferryman clearly understands, trees are not moving, we are moving. And this fellow is confusing himself that the trees are moving. He doesn't want to disturb the fellow by saying, "Trees are not moving, you idiot, we didn't want to say that." So he goes along with him and says, "Look at those, look at the unmoving trees in the so-called moving trees." He puts it that way. Basically what he is trying to tell is, trees are not moving, we are moving. Are you with me? Similarly, what is moving is not we, the mind is moving. Mind is moving so fast. Like in a movie theater, when the film is being rolled at 24 frames per second, then you see the hero flying and kicking the fellow. You understand? If then it's reality. You understand? The hero is drowning and the heroine is crying and you are crying because you have identified with the hero. You understand? All this is happening. Why? Because the film roll is rolling at 24 frames per second. Supposing if it is rolling like this slowly, the hero is standing like this. Like that, if you watch a movie, you understand. You will have no emotions attached to it, will you? You know what nonsense is this here? You understand? No emotion attached to it. So what is happening is your thoughts are running so fast. It has created a reality for you. You understand? Another example Adi Shankara gives is, one fellow is standing, two fellows are standing on the seashore. Ships are moving. But from distance, it looks as if they are not moving. So he says, "Look at those ships, stationary ships." This other fellow understands. Same way. "Look at those, look at the moving ships in those stationary ships." Exactly like that, sometimes your mind is looking as if it is not engaged in action. But the action is there in the mind as a potential. Like a volcano which is not yet erupted. Looks very calm. Suddenly when it erupts, the lava comes out of it. It's all there inside. Exactly like that, sometimes when the mind has gone to sleep, it doesn't mean that the mind has lost the action. Activity is very much part of the mind. So Lord Krishna is trying to make it very clear, action comes from the mind, not from Atma. Atma is only a projector. The mind is what is being projected there. So therefore, you clearly understand, and if you can remain a witness to your actions, then actions cannot bind you. So now doing good action alone is not going to help you. Being a witness to the good action. This is why a lot of people think this is the difference the scriptures try to bring in your life. According to me, this is one major difference or only difference. Otherwise you be good and do good. Scriptures are not asking you to move from bad to good. That is not their goal. They are asking you to move from bad to good and beyond. The witnessing ability. To make a knot with your mala, as I am talking to you, I can make knots. I don't have to look at the mala. As I am making you, I go on playing with my mala, I have made a knot. Now I want to remove this knot. Can I keep talking to you and remove the knot? Not possible. How do I remove the knots? By focusing and consciously looking at it and slowly working on it, I remove it. So from unconscious activity, move to conscious activity. This is yoga. So yoga is not what you do, but how you do. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, if you run away from here to the forest, there you live unconsciously. Whether you live unconsciously in palace or on the platform really doesn't matter. Living unconsciously is sin. Are you with me? You've been brought up in a Brahmin family, not eating meat, been conditioned in a certain way, or Gujarat, like Mahatma Gandhiji was brought up. Mahatma Gandhiji is called Mahatma because he was honest. Later on he wrote a book and he mentioned everything. What happened to him when he went abroad? So unconsciously, whether you are good, you have a potential to turn bad. Because you are basically unconscious. The unconsciousness is sin, not the action. Are you with me? Let me tell you another thing. Now repeat the same thing in another way. Now can you be consciously bad? Try, you can't. So once you start developing consciousness, see, unconsciously you can be good, but you can't be consciously bad. A doctor, when he puts injection to the patient, when the patient is paining, patient's body is going through the pain, consciously he is not being bad to the patient. Consciously he may be hurting the patient, but he is not bad to the patient. Once your consciousness increases, you cannot be negative. As long as you are unconsciously doing the so-called good things varies from society to society also. But some society accepts, other society doesn't accept. You understand? So this is the problem, says Krishna. You are running unconsciously, man. There are two types of people, but both are unconscious. One running away, one running after. So Krishna is saying, move from that nonsense to conscious. Now consciously you withdraw, consciously you do. Doesn't matter. Are you with me? So inaction, inaction, and action in inaction. Verse number 18. Very important verse. Having explained that, then he says, thus a man of knowledge understands everything is nothing but Brahman and Brahman alone. For him there is only Brahman. Then he gave the example of yajna, because in those days the yajna activity was the most prevalent one. So in yajna there is fire, there is something offered. So he uses that example and says, the ladle with which you use is also reality. The ghee or anything that you are offering is also Brahman. What is offering, who is offering is also Brahman. In what it is offered is also Brahman, etc., etc. I am not going into the details of it. You can go back and listen to that particular portion. So all this for him is Brahman. He is saying, I am Atma, I have nothing to do. Karma is going on. Reasoning. My vasana, desire, action. I have nothing to do. Film has been, impression has been this way, being projected. Nothing to do. Projector of the same movie theater, 1 week or 10 days or 1 month or whatever period, a movie is running. Tragedy. Everybody dies. The movie. That is what the projector is projecting. Next, change, movie comes. Nobody dies. and it's a comedy. That is what that projector is projecting. Next movie changes action. Thriller. You understand? All these things are being projected. Projector light has got nothing to do with it. All that is being projected on the screen can have no impact on the projector's lens. Maybe in the movie there is a scene where the whole village is on fire or the whole village is flooded. Projector scene as a lens never gets hot, burnt by fire, nor gets wet by water. That it is projecting. Yes. Without the projector lens, fire could not have been projected. Water could not have been projected. Yet, all that has been projected has no impact whatsoever on the lens. You understand? Like that, how much ever janmas you went through, whatever sorrow you go through now, everything is not having any affectation on the Atma. So a person who is identifying with Atma has no problem. So he talked about 12 yajnas. I'm sure you would have written somewhere the names of the 12 yajnas. Right? The names of the 12 yajnas in the order. Can you read it out? In that order. Slowly. Deva yajna.
Brahma yajna. Dham yajna. Desha yajna. Sam yajna. Vet.
Dravya yajna.
Dravya yajna. Yoga yajna.
Pranayama yajna. Ahara niyama yajna. 12 yajnas. See, what he is saying basically is every human being goes through the cycle of receipt, reaction and response. Right, we receive the stimuli from the external world, the reaction goes within our mind, and then we send forth response back into the world through the organs of action. So the entire set of activities that go through, we could go through consciously or we could go through unconsciously. Unconsciously, when you go through, you create samsara, you create pap and punya, and you keep on taking birth and death and going on like this. If you can convert them consciously, that becomes worship. See, look at the interesting thing is, when we are in front of the Lord, even there we are not conscious. It is not only when you are in front of the sense object that you are not conscious. Even in front of the God, you are not conscious. Are you with me? You are very close, yet you are very far. Upavas means being close to God. Upavas, reside near. But when we are in upavas, we are maximum thinking of food. Then what kind of upavas is that? Similarly, we are so unconscious in our life. That's the tragedy.
And so this Guruji, I didn't fast on Navratri this time. Because then I'm always thinking of only food.
Listen, this is an easy method she's following. And then she is thinking, I'm saying that. I'm not saying that. I am saying.
Practice, what's the point?
Ha. Now, this is an easy method.
With the action and food.
Yeah, what's the point? I mean, if I'm thinking of food, it's purposeless for me to even think about, you know, if I'm cleansing, if I want to cleanse, then I can cleanse with food also.
I know. I'm missing the whole point.
Sorry. You are pointing this, sir.
Point is, you are saying, anyway, I'm unconscious. That is what unconsciously eat. Therefore, I didn't want to unconsciously go through fasting. therefore I am continuing unconsciously eating. This is what you are saying. In short, this is what you are saying. What else are you saying?
No, consciously I did not eat because it's not serving the purpose of what the fast and meditate.
So now what you are supposed to do is, as much as possible, consciously eat, and also try to consciously fast, because that will strengthen your willpower.
But I altered my food lifestyle.
No, all that. Altering food lifestyle can be unconscious also, conscious also. Therefore, as long as you are consciously doing things,
awake.
Do also conscious fasting and see how your willpower increases. You can't. In other words, anyway, I've spoken about willpower before also, we'll talk about it some other time, but it's one of the best exercises, fasting, maunam, all these things. As to develop the willpower, the awareness and willpower is.
But I'm texting.
That's what I'm saying. Huh? She thinks keeping quiet is playing dumb. It's not playing dumb, it is playing consciously silent.
Yeah, but I on a serious note, I keep quiet for half an hour.
It is more than enough, but anyway, that apart, what I am trying to say, what at least Lord Krishna is trying to say in this portion is, converting all your activities into worship, meaning doing consciously. That's all he is saying. So, some people who have knowledge, they directly do Brahma Yajna. Those who do not have knowledge, they have to gain knowledge, and to gain knowledge you have to gain certain qualification that will come through certain yajnas. Like for example, you are at a level where your mind is now desiring a child or desiring a family, you want to marry. You know that, you know, Bhagwan, Atma, Brahman is what my ultimate goal, I have studied, maybe all that is fine, but it's not leaving you. So they say you better get married. You better get a child. Agree with me. So they do Deva Yajna. But Deva Yajna is not to go on building desires, to fulfill the desire and turn spiritual, to develop that qualification which will help me to gain knowledge, and through knowledge I can realize the self. Direct means for cooking, Atma Bodhana Adi Shankara gives this example. For cooking, the direct means is fire. The indirect means is washing the vegetable, cutting them, all that is indirect means. But direct means for cooking is fire. Similarly, direct means to liberation is knowledge. But you are so overpowered by some thoughts, you are so preoccupied. Now, listening to knowledge, from this year the knowledge goes and this year it goes away. Therefore, first you have to become patra for it. Somebody who is qualified to gain that knowledge. So there are various yajnas which we do just to make myself qualified for it. Simple things like, for example, test your own mind, test your own brain, test yourself every day before bath and after bath. Just try this. Mind, they say, if you have had a shower, immediately after shower for a while you will see, you will not see that much of sensual thoughts coming into you. But water has that effect in your body, temporarily maybe. Are you with me? So they developed a science in our system. It's been made later a period of time kind of a religious thing. Basically, idea is to not make a person think that sense is bad, but not sense is all. Are you with me? So slowly take the mind away from sense. If you say sense is bad, then the mind will go only there. So they never said it is bad. They slowly made you go through that also, but slowly help you turn away. So, you know, little bit of yoga exercises, pranayama, bathing, prayer, all these things prepares your mind. Then when you gain the knowledge, supposing you come jogging, and then you sit here. Now, what will be going into your knowledge is fine, but nothing was. By the time you settle down, class is over. You understand? So, Deva Yajna, those who are supposed to be qualifying, Those who already qualified can be doing sitting and doing meditation, gaining knowledge, etc. That is Brahma Yajna. So first he talks about Deva Yajna, then Brahma Yajna, then he talks about Dhamma Yajna and Vishaya Grahana Yajna. What is this? Both are basically Dhamma Yajna, you can say. But in a different way he says. Dhamma means sense control.
Sense control.
Control means immediately our mind says restraint. No. Control simply means what?
To watch your lives.
Simply means you do not go into what you should not go. And you should go into what you should go. You have to go this way. But you are now going this way, which means you don't have control over yourself.
Withdrawing yourself.
So you should not allow yourself to go into the areas where you shouldn't go. And you should help yourself to go into the areas which you should go. That means you have control over yourself.
For example, the horse.
Yeah. So you are having control over the horse means horse is not going the other way, it's going on the track. So the senses are controlled by not allowing them to go into the areas where it should not go. And you allow the senses to go into the area where it should go, which is helpful. Like for example, even the time we choose to study the Gita should not be, in fact, it should not be immediately before the mealtime. It should not be immediately after the mealtime. God knows what meal we have. That is another thing. When you are sitting like, you're looking at me but not looking at me. Looking through me. You understand? In fact, in one place it used to happen. 8:30 to 10 in the night class, Gita class. And a lot of people, mostly many South Indians, they eat curd rice and it's a fully air-conditioned house. I know they're not listening, for sure. But they're almost in meditative state, you understand? It's very difficult. So you should choose everything conducive. Dhamma, sense control. Right? First, control the senses. Then, mind control. So Dhamma Yajna, Vishaya Grahana Yajna. Put what you should put and dissolve it there. Then Shamayajna. Shamayajna means mind control. Mind control means there are already certain impressions. You have not allowed your mind to go into the wrong impressions. But already there are something, right? Like you go into the mandir. Suddenly a sensual thought is coming. In the mandir, sensual thought is coming. Usually what happens is we indulge in that thought. So Shamayajna. Now don't indulge in that thought. Thought has come because it is there in you. But at least don't indulge in it. Shama Yajna.
So is it similar to sense control, mind control? Is it similar?
Sense control is not allowing the negative to enter. Mind control is dealing with the negative that has already entered. Subtle difference. Are you with me? Then, Dravya Yajna. Atma Samyama Yajna and Shama Yajna same. Atma in the context here means mind. Atma Samyama means controlling the mind, which is Shama. Okay? Then comes Dravya Yajna, means giving material wealth. Then Tapo Yajna. Tapo, giving material wealth also could be show off. But here you give material wealth for what? For your spiritual upliftment. Believe me, wealth is not just material wealth. Any wealth. By giving, your mind becomes relieved. By grabbing, your mind becomes more aggressive. You understand? So you practice that. Then tapas involves twofold practice. Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower and directing the conserved energy towards higher. Right? You do, like for example, Ravana did tapas, but that you can't call as tapo yajna. Because with that tapas, he was swelling, he was not growing. Ego was swelling. Tapas should make the ego dissolve and growth of spirituality should happen. That yajna you do, tapo yajna, in every field. tapas karo. That's what one of the tapasya is this that you are talking about. Upavas, maunam. Why? I don't practice. See, just for physical well-being I could do that, or I could turn that into spiritual also. Then it becomes tapo yajna. Then yoga yajna, doing the ashtanga yoga. Then swadhyaya, chanting of the Vedas, memorizing them. That vibration itself has a certain effect. Then jnana yajna, studying, reflecting, shravana manana nididhyasana. Then pranayama yajna, rechakam, purakam, kumbakam, all this is talking about as a yajna. Pranayama, prana is that which is in between the body and the mind. Are you mean? Pranamaya kosha is in between annamaya kosha and manomaya kosha. Prana has a certain effect on your mind and the body. That is why when you are extremely, extremely disturbed, what is the best thing to do? They give you japa. Japa yajna. What is happening in japa? Have you seen these people who go to Saravana, what do you call this? Shabrimala. Have you attended any of their puja? Their black or blue and they do puja and all that. They will not say Swami Sharanamayyappa. They say Swami. They will go like that. This japa may long exhaustion, long exhalation, sorry, long exhalation, quick inhalation. In pranayama, what are you doing? Inhale and exhale slowly. So you see, after doing pranayama for a while, you see your mind is little calm down. In japa, there is breath already. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There is a long exhalation. So automatically the science works in such a way that your mind, brain quietens. So pranayama yajna. Then ahara niyama yajna. Ahara niyama yajna means any ahara, any intake, especially food. What food should be eaten, what food should not be eaten, when it should be eaten, how much should be eaten, all that. You know, regulation is also part of it. Not eating food at all, then also you are not able to take in knowledge. Awareness will not be there in that fellow also. Too much food, in them also there won't be awareness. Are you with me? Correct food. How much food, all that you regulate with awareness. Thus, if you can regulate your entire activity with awareness, your awareness goes on increasing. Slowly, slowly the vasanas gets destroyed. This much Lord Krishna has spoken so far. We have concluded till verse 30. From 31 onwards, we will continue from next week. Those who have not come, those who have come, both of you, please listen to this summary once again. Then we will take it afresh next week, 31 onwards. Yeah.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamagachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Mm-hmm.